years ago. It's interesting. Louis T. McFadden, 1876 to 1936, An American Hero by Richard C. Cook. It's an interesting article, especially for those not familiar with the history. Anyway, you know, I'm reminded, speaking of that, of Louis T. McFadden's famous speech that on the House floor that's still in the Congressional Record, June 10, 1932. Mr. Chairman, we have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I wish C-SPAN would have televised this. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Banks. And, of course, he went on from there in 1933 to introduce H.R. 158, the Articles of Impeachment, for the Secretary of the Treasury, two Assistant Secretaries of the Treasury, and the Fed Board of Governors and the officers and directors of its 12 regional banks, which was awesome. Would that we still had a – but, you know, had McFadden lived to see the creation of the CIA, I would think that he would have the same sort of remarks. It's an extension – you know, which reminds me of the Alien. You watch the Alien movies and the Jaws, you see the Jaws, and all of a sudden another set of Jaws comes out of it. The CIA is like another set of Jaws that comes out of the Federal Reserve, is what I mean. It's that kind of mental image to do something even more evil and nefarious, to attack you in an even more evil and nefarious, concealed sort of way. Neither of these organizations are accountable. And speaking of things that disappear quietly in the night on the internet that get memory hold, I like to mention the fact that Alan Greenspan's appearance on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer back on September 18, 2007, that always seems to want to disappear too, doesn't it? Funny that. The audio is still on the PBS website, but somehow the page that used to the page that used to house that September interview, it disappeared, and there are other interviews of Alan Greenspan back then, you know, 2008. Do you think Alan Greenspan really thought that the bubble would never burst? That's still there. Why is that soundbite that Alan Greenspan says that the relationships between the president and the Fed chair don't frankly matter? A rogue agency and entirely unaccountable. You know, how is it accountable to the American people? Again, these things happen, you know, beyond the pale of public criticism and scrutiny. That's not okay. That's patently un-American. And we should be holding to the questions that don't get answers and sticking on them until those questions do get answers. Anyway, this series, into the second hour we go. The series this week is Narcissism, Identity Politics, Color Revolution, and the CIA. When I started today's broadcast, and I've said it throughout the week, there really is no hard line in my mind. I know that we've become sort of accustomed to these sound bites. You know, the social media gurus will tell you that, you know, if you write an article about the seven ways to identify, or the top 10 things or whatever, people love those things. And I think it's manipulative. And you should just put the content out as it is. So the four-part series is, and it's all kind of the same thing, same subject, but four parts are, you know, and this all arose as a result of the subject of Color Revolution and the CIA in particular, thinking about doing broadcasts for those. It's ironic that those still haven't been done yet, but they're coming. But Narcissism, Identity Politics, Color Revolution, and the CIA are the four parts. And they're the – basically, it's sort of a reverse engineering of what we see. Color Revolution is essential. It's an essential ingredient in turning the world upside down and remaking it. as Wesley Clark intimated in America's Foreign Policy Coup. I guess maybe we should play that. Let me grab that clip real fast. Remember when he talked about 7 countries in 5 years? We have a, you know, we have a short time to, as a result of the Soviet collapse and what precipitated that, Glasnost, and that's interesting because I've been arguing for years we have Glasnost happening here in America. Openness and transparency, huh? That's funny. But, you know, the giving the Soviets their Vietnam War, as Brzezinski put it, the Afghan trap, as it was referred to, collapse of the Soviet Union 1991. Already before that, you see efforts to propagandize the American people in the run-up to the collapse of the Soviet Union to do exactly what was intimated to Wes Clark and what he intimated at the in the broader clip of that subject matter at the Commonwealth Club speech he gave back on October 3rd of 2007. So the way he put it, it's funny. Yeah, there we go. We'll play a little bit of this, I think. Yeah. The Shia uprising in March of 91, which we had provoked. We should start kind of back around there. Where do you start? You know, it's an 8-minute clip, but, you know, where do you... Where do you start? I think we'll start here. So, Wes Clark, October 3rd, 2007. Commonwealth Club. It's the same. It was similar to the speech that he gave. Well, it was similar to the conversation he had with Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now! Back in March of 2007. And for some reason, that's the clip people play. But this one is much more damning, I think. It's 8 minutes and 14 seconds long, published by Fora TV, Fora.tv YouTube channel. And Fora, you know, the complete speech that he gave is still at Fora, up at Fora TV, Fora.tv, and the link is in this YouTube video, which is titled Wes Clark, America's Foreign Policy Coup. It's 8 minutes and 14 seconds long. We should really play the whole thing, but here is the specific remark that I'm referring to, or remarks to that effect. You know, when he gets to the... the nugget, you know, you remember it when someone shoves a nugget like that at you. It was pretty stunning. He says, you mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments? It's not to sort of deter conflict? You're going to invade countries? And so, listen to this. Go ahead, please.
Old Scooter Libby came to the door. I met Scooter for the first time, and he brought me in, and I said to Paul, I said, and this is 1991, I said, Mr. Secretary, you must be pretty happy with the performance of the troops in Desert Storm. And he said, well, yeah, he said, but not really, he said, because the truth is we should have gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't. And this was just after the Shia uprising in March of 91, which we had provoked, and then we kept our troops on the sidelines and didn't intervene. And he said, but one thing we did learn, he said, we learned that we can use our military in the region, in the Middle East, and the Soviets won't stop us. He said, and we've got about 5 or 10 years. to clean up those old Soviet client regimes. Syria, Iran, Iraq, before the next great superpower comes on to challenge us. And it was like, you know, I'm coming out of the Mojave Desert. I've been training troops. I haven't been thinking geostrategy for some time. And suddenly a guy just sort of shoves this nugget at you. Well, you remember it. It was a pretty stunning thing. You mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments? It's not to sort of deter conflict? We're going to invade countries? And, I my mind was spinning. And I put that aside. It was like a nugget that you hold on to. This country was taken over by a group of people with a policy coup. Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you could name a half dozen other collaborators from the Project for a New American Century. They wanted us to destabilize the Middle East, turn it upside down, make it under our control. It went back to those comments in 1991. Now, did anybody ever tell you that? Was there a national dialogue on this? Did senators and congressmen stand up and denounce this plan? Was there a full-fledged American debate on it? Absolutely not. And there still isn't. And that's why we're failing in Iraq.
There you go. That's because four-star general Wesley Clark was there. I mean, this is, you know, a guy, first-hand testimony, what I would call unimpeachable witness. Sure, he's, you know, an insider establishment guy. You don't become a four-star general if you're not. Or you get disgraced if you break ranks from the bundle of sticks. But there you have it. You know, America's foreign policy coup. So destabilize the Middle East, you know, the Shia uprising of March of 91, which we provoked and then, you know, stepped out of the way. Again, fomenting revolution, the Shia uprising. Why? P2OG meets R2P. Proemptive Preactive Operations Group archetype meets responsibility to protect archetype. You provoke a reaction. You stimulate reactions in a variety of ways. You know, like Zbigniew Brzezinski said about the creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, which he, you know, publicly, the story was the Soviets invaded. So, you know, we thought we'd help the Afghans. Wait, why exactly? Well, you know, because of geostrategic and blah, blah nonsense. No, it doesn't make sense to the, you know, but, you know, for most of us, you know, the John Boltons will say we are not sophisticated enough to understand foreign policy. No, I disagree. I guess maybe George Washington didn't understand foreign policy either, if that's the case. But I digress. So according to Brzezinski, you know, the official narrative originally was the Soviets invaded, so we thought we'd help the poor Afghani people defend themselves. And we created the Afghan Mujahideen that even Hillary Clinton admitted later, you know, to be fair, the enemy we're fighting today, we helped create during, you know, the fight against the Soviets. So it's ridiculous. And it's a bunch of ridiculous nonsense. And again, you know, Ned Beatty's remarks as Senator Charles Meacham from Shooter come to mind. There are no sides. There are no Sunnis and Shiites. There are no Democrats and Republicans. There are only haves and have-nots. Anyway, Brzezinski admitted later that though the official narrative originally was that the Soviets invaded, so we helped create the Mujahideen, he said actually 6 months before the Soviet invasion, we were, you know, there, and we have, you know, the helicopter footage of Brzezinski stepping out and saying, hey, Mujahideen, your cause will be successful, you know, because you will get your homes and mosques back because God is on your side. Zbigniew Brzezinski said that to what is now Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And by the way, Wes Clark, speaking of Wes Clark, he was the guy who admitted on CNN and other places that America created ISIS. He's one of those folks. But again, I digress. So Brzezinski admits, and here we have this archetype. So what happens? You know, you draw the Soviets into the Afghan – you know, Brzezinski, speaking of the Operation Cyclone, CIA's Operation Cyclone, creating the Mujahideen, Afghan Mujahideen, which was a – it's, you know, astronomical funding, the CIA funneling hundreds of millions of dollars back in the 80s. Then you have – you know, you draw in guys like Oliver North. Yes, I lied, and I'd do it again. Oliver North, who's now, you know, leading the NRA. He's always been controlled opposition. What do you think that means? But, you know, you look at Operation Cyclone, the astronomical – what is the latest, greatest nonsense on Wikipedia? Operation Cyclone was one of the longest and most expensive covert CIA operations. I like, you know, the operative word here is was. Ha ha, that's funny. Funding began with just over $500,000 in 1979. It was increased dramatically to $20 or $30 million per year in 1980 and rose to $630 million per year in 1987. That's Wikipedia. Truth is far worse. You know, there used to be some great stuff on Wikipedia. There used to be that picture of Brzezinski and Carter standing next to each other and, you know, other fun stuff like that. It used to say right up at the top those kinds of things. Now you got to dig down a little bit. But Carter told National Security Advisor Brzezinski and Secretary of State Cyrus Vance, blah, 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 blah. But you read, you know, Jimmy Carter's own memoirs, and Brzezinski is the tail wagging the dog in the Carter presidency in particular. It's especially in this instance. So it's a sort of archetype. So Brzezinski said, we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. That's the archetype. That's the sort of model. And so Wes Clark is saying the same thing. You know, the 1991 Shia uprising in March of 91 that we provoked and got out of the way. Why are we doing this? Again, this all goes back. So reverse engineering this stuff, one of the weapons that's used to foment unrest, to turn the world upside down and remake it under our control, as Wes Clark put it, is color revolution. The CIA is masterful. It uses the you know, Gene Sharp's training manual, basically, to do that, and employs surrogates and proxies like Serta Popovic and Otpor / Canvas and crap like that. And sure, you know, like Wes Clark said in the, at that Commonwealth address, Commonwealth Club address, why we failed in Iraq and Syria, because they know about the plan, but America doesn't. Americans don't, which is also interesting, you know, and we don't, you know, there's that clip of what's his name? Hugo Chavez holding up the propaganda that's circulating and comparing it to, I believe it was Canvas, or maybe it was Otpor, the fist, basically, the Marxist fist, the color revolutionary fist. Hey guys, look, the propaganda that's been circulated, by whom? Where did this come from? It's being circulated in our midst. Looks an awful lot like this stuff that just kind of, you know, it's basically, what do you call it, the commercialization of Arab Spring styled color revolution propaganda. Here comes the next round of it. They know. Meanwhile, the American public is propagandized in precisely the fashion that folks like Frank Wisner would envision. So speaking of not knowing, and Huckabee's speech about creating havoc in the world back in September of 2007, during the speech he also said the first rule of war is know your enemy, quote unquote. And most Americans don't, he said. To grasp the magnitude of the threat we first have to understand what makes Islamic terrorists. And it's funny, he goes on, you know, Saeed Qutb, Egyptian Radical, Muslim Brotherhood, Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, Karl Marx, Lenin, blah, blah, blah. But never actually, I mean, why not mention anything Anthony Sutton wrote? Or, you know, where these forces came from? How Bin Laden was recruited by the CIA, which is a fact of history, through the CIA's Operation Cyclone. And, you know, why Marxism is so important. Who was Karl Marx? Who was Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, so-called? Who was Stalin? Where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? Why is Saeed Qutb such an instrumental figure in Qutbism? He never got to that, speaking of the first rule of know your enemy. It's kind of a mocking, in my opinion, of the rest of us, which is unfortunate. So anyway, color revolution. Reverse engineering this, and I'm going to try to say it simple, and then we'll go to the phones. Hopefully it makes sense, and I really want to – we dug in on narcissism yesterday. I intended to on identity politics today, but we'll do that, I think, some more tomorrow. Color revolution, we'll get to that. Color revolution and the CIA specifically, probably next week, it looks like. Anyway. And Richie from Boston is supposed to be on, I think, on Monday. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So reverse engineering this stuff. Think about the pictures that we see. Going back in history, for example, you know, the crash of 29. You know, we see the pictures of breadlines and things like that. But the generation, I mean, the propaganda aside, I know what my own family has told me, which obviously, you know, somewhat romanticized, you could argue. But I know the things that I have heard from folks who lived through it, or what I heard from folks who lived through it. And there wasn't any of this sort of color revolutionary stuff going on. People were just trying to survive coming out of the crash of 29. And then you come forward into the, you know, CIA era, so to speak, after the reimagining, rewiring of the OSS, after the National Security Act of 1947. And suddenly we have all of this fomenting of civil unrest everywhere. And at the same time, you know, you have the United Nations nonsense. And by the way, speaking of that, it's interesting that what was the title of that? And who did that? I'll find that in a second. There's a video segment. I think I want to say, well, I'll just look real fast. Well, a couple of things. So Fox News had a video, and, you know, you have guys like Ben Shapiro saying what political Zionists will say. And then you have, and so this is that political Zionism versus political Islam conflict, again, fomenting these forces of civil unrest on either side of the issue. And I would say don't be duped. Don't be an unwitting dupe or a useful idiot, a pawn in that game. Fox News video, new video purportedly shows UN influence in Gaza clashes. That was yesterday. And then Jake Morfonius over at Blackstone Intelligence Group His YouTube channel, the One Blackstone Intelligence Network, excuse me, his video titled "Israeli Attacks on Palestinian Civilians Draw Global Rebuke." So this is all sort of, you know, you have the forces, and somebody said something about the fact that the, I think it was Esquire magazine had an article about how Fox and Friends coverage of the embassy move to Jerusalem was all wrong. I think that was the title of the article, something to that effect. So it's that conflict, political Zionism versus political Islam, which is all in an effort to foment social unrest. Meanwhile, we should be having civil discourse, setting aside the propaganda that is so insidious and just diabolically wired to get us fighting. Let's stop. So to reverse engineer color revolution, the fomenting of forces of civil unrest, a social clash, you have to basically engineer it. You know, these spontaneous uprisings, so-called, never are. But the essential ingredient, one of the essential ingredients to that is identity politics. Exactly like Huckabee said, to create havoc in the world, you need these ingredients. You need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Intellectual spark, underclass fuel, as he said it. And you have to have a disingenuously disenfranchised minority, if that makes sense, disconnected from reality. They believe themselves to be part of a mass movement of the dispossessed and discontented rising up in Marxist fashion, as Huckabee put it. You know, that's what he said. We face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. Dispossessed specifically makes me think of all of the what Kelly Greenhill refers to as coercive engineered migration. And all of the other forces that are pushing people out of pushing indigenous people, so to speak, out of areas around the world, creating more upheaval, dispossessing. And, you know, you don't have to be a genius to understand that is going to create chaos. I have said for a long time, it seems pretty self-evident that even if you know, some have observed a simple, you know, major life change will turn your own life upside down for about 6 months. You know, if anything happens, you change residence, you change job or career, you change major relationship status or have a child or something like that. Any one of those things will turn your life upside down for about 6 months until you kind of reacclimate. So when you're pushing people, dozens, hundreds, thousands or more people out of certain areas, that's going to create havoc. Coercive engineered migration is what Kelly Greenhill calls it. So the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up, that sounds like Marxism. And when you're pushing on people groups in a variety of ways that cause these kinds of things, you're fomenting the forces of social unrest. So that's all instrumental in color revolution. Identity politics is folks believing that certain identity groups sort of lend themselves to this concept of dispossessed and discontented folks rising up. We are a disenfranchised minority, and therefore we must rise up nonsense. And that, of course, sort of requires a certain amount of narcissism, if that makes sense. So these things are all, you know, reverse engineering this concept, these things all go together. And behind all of this engineering these days, you have, most notably, I would say, the CIA. And I don't understand why it seems so difficult to have this conversation when, for example, on Wikipedia, you have entries like CIA influence on public opinion, for instance, at various times under its own authority, what? Or in accordance with directives from the president, or the National Security Council staff, which sounds like what Ralph McGahee said. The CIA has never been a CIA. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. Gosh, it seems like Ralph McGahee was absolutely right, 100% correct. The CIA has attempted to influence domestic and international public opinion. Actually, that's very disingenuous because, as you know, Frank Wisner put it, you know, Hugh Wilford's book, which doesn't tell it all but probably tells enough, The Mighty Wurlitzer, Frank Wisner, the first chief of political warfare, used to describe the CIA's array of front organizations. He said they were capable of playing any propaganda tune he desired. Yeah. And then you fast forward to William Casey's remarks when the American public, when everything the American public believes is false. How is this not front page news every day? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular.
Welcome back. So again, sort of going backwards, we'll go to the phones here in a second, but hopefully all of this makes sense. You know, it's a very scientific engineering process, you know, very manipulative, Bernays, you know, Freud, Norbert Wiener, you know, all of these. You know, Pavlov, I mean, we played the quotes or the clips yesterday, some of the clips. When you engineer a class of people that has a sort of entitlement mindset to whatever degree, narcissism, basically. I have some YouTube playlists on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel. Narcissism is one of the playlists. 96 videos right now. Identity Politics, 15 videos. It's interesting, in that playlist, the Identity Politics playlist, one of the videos is titled Identity Politics is Narcissism, author Joanna Williams at the Battle of Ideas. We ought to just play that. Maybe we will. I don't know. Maybe not today. We got to go to the phones. But so when you can engineer a population, and that's what we've seen. I mean, I'm not going to go back over all of the examples of, you know, we played the clips yesterday, for example, of, you know, are you a selfie-absorbed? Are you selfie-absorbed? The Al Jazeera Plus video, how narcissists are created. That's a good one. That doesn't really speak to the engineering. But then we have those, you know, we played Jaron Lanier's TED Talk. He spoke to that, even mentioned Norbert Wiener, the human use of human beings. I mentioned all of the related TED Talks, including Zeynep Tufekci's "We're Building a Dystopia Just to Make You Click," just to make people click on ads. Shocked about how Facebook did the studies in that TED Talk. Conducted studies years ago, but also how Facebook engineers wanted to see if they could use artificial intelligence to predict the onset of mania. They actually could, wired. Programmed artificial intelligence to actually be able to predict the onset of mania, she said, but the engineers didn't know how it was doing it. And so my question is, if you can predict it, can you engineer it? Can you, you know, and so then you think of the Adam Lanzas and so forth. You know, we hear he was in a hole for 90 days in his bedroom, wasn't talking to the public, and he was self-radicalized on the internet. Could it be the engineering of the onset of mania? It seems highly plausible, doesn't it, for an organization, especially, you know, like the CIA, that prides itself in being able to do that in very plausibly deniable ways. FBI, same thing. So there was that. Then we played the True Stream Media video. They admitted social media is programming us with, you know, the confession, so to speak, of guys like Sean Parker at his Axios talk and Chamath Palihapitiya at Stanford. And there are many others, as I mentioned recently, who have said the same thing. Social media is, as Jaron Lanier put it, a behavior modification empire. Or it's run by the behavior modification empires, most notably Facebook and Google. So when you can program people, and obviously all of this technology lends itself to this kind of bad, selfish behavior. You can create a generation of, or even generation after generation, of self-absorbed people, narcissistic people, and then you can convince them that somehow, for some reason, they're a disenfranchised minority. And the point of narcissism isn't just the self-absorption, but the fact that people that suffer from, you know, whatever, to whatever degree, from narcissism are disconnected from reality, which lends itself to the identity politics manipulation in Marxist fashion, discontented rising up. It's the sort of scientific engineering of the weaponizing that Nesta Webster spoke about in World Revolution, weaponizing people against themselves and others. And all of that are the, you know, the identity politics, which requires a certain amount of narcissism, is an essential ingredient to color revolution. And then along with the color revolutionaries, of course, you'll get, once you start a set of dominoes in motion, then you'll get the folks who sort of in specious fashion get drawn into that trap. Again, Nesta Webster's words in view from World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, where people don't realize they're, you know, they're not on the paid staff. They're just upset because something bad is happening. And so they end up going out in the streets and saying, this must stop. And then the news coverage includes them in a very specious sort of fashion. And, you know, there the snowball goes, so to speak. And again, behind all of this, always we have the CIA somewhere on the periphery, employing surrogates and proxies like Serta Popovic, for example. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. Let's go to the phones and grab Harvey in Florida. Harvey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello there, Chris. You're on target today, as most days. You're really doing a superlative job. It's unfortunate the American people, by and large, are not listening. If you ever listen to National Public Radio, Chris, for the full propaganda operation they got going on there?
I try to avoid Nazi Patriot Radio as much as I can, but I do listen to it from time to time.
It's full of think tank people. I mean, they really do some brainwashing job. They're professionals. People support it. The people themselves donate to them for their own brainwashing. Just like with television, people pay to $60 to $100, $150 a month to be brainwashed by the major networks.
It's no small side note, I think, a provocative side note. I try to mention it as often as possible. That's a great point. They're paying for their own propaganda. And I think the reason that has been done is because when you get people to buy into the propaganda, literally and figuratively, then basically they own it. And so it invokes or induces a more pervasive form of Stockholm syndrome. In other words, if you're a donor to NPR or PBS or whatever, then you're not going to be the person who says, yeah, I'm the idiot who funds this nonsense. You're going to be the person who defends your kidnapper and your propagandist.
Same thing with the television networks. I mean, I have a friend I grew up with that we both lived through a lot of things when we're against the Vietnam War and all. My friend Jeffrey Miller got his brains blown out at Kent State University in 1970, May 4th, actually.
Yeah.
And he is so in tune with his brainwashing because he pays that fee for cable TV. He's so proud that he got it at less than $100 a month, and he sits there watching that crap day and night. And for the full CNN effect, and he thinks it's A-okay. But, you know, you brought up so many topics today like you do on most occasions. First of all, you know, what did P.T. Barnum say? There's a sucker born every minute?
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with, the American population. They're taking selfies of their rear end and putting it on some website or something, but... While they're doing that, there are other people cashing in on all this death and destruction, and those are the people we have to go after. It's really unbelievable. They don't do it for fun and profit. They're doing it for profit.
Yeah.
Profit and power and evil. That's what we're really up against.
Yeah, profit and power and control. You know, profit is, I think, sort of a footnote at this point, and power and control is definitely the modus operandi.
Sure, they're making billions of dollars, billions and billions, and actually trillions. The Bush family alone could probably pocketed about $1 trillion on all these wars and on the oil wars and everything else. So then they get a piece of the action from Saudi Arabia still. James J. Baker, you know all the characters. And if there was really a police force in New York, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations runs out of New York City, and the police in New York are probably there guarding it. Instead, they should be arresting all the people that show up for the meeting, and that would make a big, big, big dent. When Trump, P.T. Barnum, P.T. Trump came to the presidency, one of the first things he did was bring Henry Kissinger into the Oval Office. Not once, not twice, but many, many times. And it was on the news for about a second.
Yeah.
And that's really all you needed to see, so you know who's really pulling the strings. It's really sickening. And it'd be very simple for the New York City police to actually do their job and arrest these son of a guns. Very, very simple. Because we can't count on any other branch of the government. It comes to the local police, you know, New York's, what do they call them, the finest? New York City's finance. Same ones that stood down during 9/11, 2001. It's unbelievable, but go on.
Here's an interesting, I mentioned things that disappear, incredible disappearing things on the web that get memory hold. It's interesting, and who knows, but it's just, I think it's a provocative sort of anecdotal aside, if you will, not that I'm implying some conspiracy, but it's funny. So I was going to look, there was a site, Graphic, a company called Graphic, G-R-A-P-H-I-Q, is a big data company. They do a lot of different things with big data, and they've built a number of what I would call sort of, microsites. Folks can check them out at graphic.com. That's G-R-A-P-H-I-Q.com. But, you know, they do stuff with big data and government data and stuff like that. Anyway, one of the sites that they built, which was a sort of beta thing, was insidegov.com. And they included data for the White House visitor logs. And I've looked at that in the past for different stuff. Anyway, while you were talking, I was going to look up Henry Kissinger's visits to the Trump White House and probably Obama and everybody else, you know. And I went to one of the pages that of previous visitors, and it says, sorry, we can't find the page you requested. So I was going to go to the homepage, insidegov.com, that Graphic created. Sorry, this site is no longer available. We're sorry for the inconvenience.
They shut that down a while ago. They shut that down. So, they don't have to give out that information. It's privileged information. You know, I remember a picture from a few years ago, a classic picture. It was in a snowstorm, and it was George Herbert Walker Bush and his little boy Jeb when George Herbert Walker Bush was still ambulatory. Going into the White House to see Obama in a snowstorm. That was some beautiful picture. I don't know if you can find that on the web.
Yeah.
And I sent you a story 2 weeks ago from BBC. It was a radio story. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And the piece I sent you wasn't the original piece. It was about the war, the Iraqi war in Mosul, how we helped, us and the British helped take back Mosul from the ISIS that we created. And it left out, that piece I sent you was a video on the BBC, but it wasn't the audio from the radio, BBC radio. It's another great source of propaganda. That is like super professional worldwide propaganda, where they call themselves the radio network for the world.
Yeah.
It really missed the point that in that story, the reporter actually was in Mosul, and he was saying how the British, how many people they slaughtered to get the ISIS. And I showed in that story that I did send to you through your board operator, they showed the devastation. But he admitted in his story they say they didn't kill that many people, but there were thousands and thousands that the British helped murder. Murder. This is mass murder. These are all mass murderers. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
maybe because what the things you talk about, you know, I have an aversion towards propaganda that for some reason, that as much as they brainwash me, I used to call myself on my radio show the last unwashed brain, but they should have started on me when I was an embryo. And maybe it would have taken, but for somehow a little bit of humanity survived inside of me, and I still care, and I still know, and I still wonder, just like I believe you do, Chris.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank
Absolutely.
You, my friend. I'll let somebody
Thank
else
you.
Call in.
Bye. Thank you, Harvey. I appreciate it, and appreciate your sentiments and observations. And when you say, basically, starting from the womb, I think of Dr. Dimitri Christakis' TED Talk when he was referring to the baby Einstein stuff and a day on the farm kind of stuff, which you said was the most exhausting day on the farm since Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. But basically saying that this kind of stuff that moms are listening to when kids are in the womb is harmful. And then they come out and they watch Baby Einstein. And what it's doing is fragging their hard drive, so to speak, so that it can be.
I wasn't the one who created that expression, by the way. I borrowed it from Arch Oldham's radio play from 1938.
What expression?
Radio play. They should have started working on me when I was an embryo, because humanity has survived inside my heart, and I still have a heart. That was from the play Bathysphere. You can find it on YouTube. It's really a wonderful play in 1938 or 39, written by Arch Obler. Bathysphere. It was a story about as a matter of fact, I performed this play once upon a time on radio, but Bathysphere is a story of a leader of a country being taken down to break the diving record by one of his many soldiers. And the soldier takes him down in the diving bell. You look it up. It'll blow your mind. It's true today as it ever was.
I'm sure. Appreciate it. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate?
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, May 17th, 2018. Again, the subject, narcissism, it's the four parts: narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA. Narcissism is essential to identity politics, is essential to color revolution, brought to you by the CIA. And, you know, again, as I said, when you can see, for example, that, you know, there's a Wikipedia entry on CIA influence on public opinion. Is that okay? Because at every turn, now we have, you know, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And in 2013, now the American people are going to pay for their own propaganda. I don't know about you, but I don't like the federal government reaching into my pocket at all for anything. Because what ends up happening, and people will misconstrue that, again, equivocation fallacy, by saying, well, you don't want to pay for things? No, no, that's different. If I reach into my pocket and pay for something, that's different than the federal government reaching into my pocket. There is a distinction. And the fact that we conflate the two is evidence of the psychopathy and mind control at work. So it's my understanding, reading the founding documents, that there should be none of that. There should be none, no reaching into your pocket or my pocket by the government. It's your obligation, your responsibility to decide what should be funded. So now the American people are paying for their own propaganda through the government funding. And, you know, as Harvey and I were just discussing, obviously in a variety of other ways, which is very sad and unfortunate, speaks to the state of affairs. But you have CIA influence on public opinion. That's bad. You have, you know, covert, what they're referred to, if you go to, there's a Wikipedia entry, foreign policy of the United States, the covert United States involvement in regime change, referred to as regime change actions, for decades, most notably in the CIA era, obviously. The 49 Syrian coup d'etat, 49 to 53 Albania, 51 to 56 Tibet, 53 Iranian coup, 54 Guatemala, 56 to 57 Syria. And you'll notice that, for example, Syria comes up over and over. Iraq comes up over and over. Iran comes up over and over, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that? And why did the American people not know about that? And why is it okay that through a process of disassociation, separation, and plausible deniability, that suddenly this has all been normalized? You know, again, Patrick Porter's piece, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State, is illustrative of this concept. All of these things are bad, and they affect us in a variety of ways. None of which are good. And it all should stop. Hopefully that was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.